Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
September 11th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, duotones and in parentheses, color monochromes. You may say, well, what's the difference there? Well, we're going to talk about that today. And this is all part of our September photo assignment, which is loosely labeled duotones, but we're also including color monotones in the mix too. Well, you know, the tools we have these days allow us to do all sorts of really interesting things. And I thought that we would play with some of these tools for this month's photo assignment. So I'm going to talk about how to make what I'm going to loosely call duotones right now, which are basically black and white images, monochrome images, with some sort of tint. That's the loose interpretation that we're going to use right now. And you can have varying degrees of tint. You can have different shades of tint. There's all sorts of things that you can play with. And the tools that we have now to do this are fabulous. And I'm going to talk about four tools that we have, and chances are you have one of them loaded on your computer right now, that we can use for this month's photo assignment. Now, even if you don't want to submit an entry into the September 2007 Digital Story photo assignment, you can play along. And playing along is, well, it's just as fun, except that you don't get to see your picture in the gallery afterwards. But I understand if you don't want to do that, it's still fun to play along. So even if you're not going to enter, let's do the assignment together. All right, the four applications I'm going to talk about today to make your color monochrome or duotone, those four applications are Aperture, Lightroom, Photoshop CS3, and iPhoto 6 or 7. Now, Aperture and iPhoto are Mac-only applications, and Lightroom and Photoshop CS3 run on both Mac and Windows. And hopefully, of those four applications, one of them is residing on your hard drive right now. Now, before I get into the how the heck you do this, maybe I should talk a moment about why the heck you should do this. And I think there are some compelling reasons. We shoot, for the most part, in color. That's the way we see the world. And when we look through our camera's viewfinder, or when we look at our camera's LCD screen, that's the way that we're seeing the world. And I don't think we should change any of that at all. In fact, even if you want a black and white photo as your final output, I recommend that you shoot it in color and then convert it to black and white later. Why you ask that? Well, because I think you have more options. If you capture it in color, first of all, you have the option of having a full color version of that photo, and you never know, up the road you may want that. Also, you're capturing more image data, and plus, how images are captured in black and white on a digital camera vary from model to model. So the safest way to go, and the way that I recommend, is start with a color image. Now, the thing is, though, sometimes after we have the color image, we want to play with it. We want to see what we can do. We might want to make a black and white. We might want to do some duotone where we have basically, we start out with a monochrome conversion. In other words, we convert our color photo to black and white, and then we play with some tinting. Now, I used to do this in the regular darkroom, and it was, fairly straightforward process. What I would do is make my black and white print, and then the final bath would be some sort of toning bath, a selenium or a sepia or one of those, and that would give my black and white image, a little warmth or cool it off a bit or whatever I wanted to do to it. Now, the old days, as I always say, when you're using toning baths, it's hard, or at least it was hard for me, and maybe just because I wasn't a master darkroom person, but it's hard to control the exact effect of the tone. And I actually never really knew what I had until the print had dried all the way down. These days, with the computer tools that we have, you can tone right on the spot and see what you're going to get right away. And this is a lot of fun. Plus, you don't have to have all these little bottles of these weird chemicals for every tone that you want to use. You have sliders, and sliders are much more fun, in my opinion, than bottles of chemicals. So this whole thing, the whole why to this is because it's fun, because it gives us an opportunity to look at our images in a different way. And sometimes by taking out the color, reducing things down to the basic light and composition, allows us to really look at our images and how we capture our images in a different way. So this is part of the reason why I want to do it for the September photo assignment. Another part is I want to see what this gallery is going to look like. I think it's going to look hot. And I'm just totally excited about the anticipation of seeing all these monochrome, colored monochromes and duotones and all this stuff in our monthly photo gallery. So that is the why of this whole endeavor. Let's get to the how. And I'm going to start with Photoshop CS3. Now, obviously, there are 1,000 different ways to convert to black and white and then add tint to the images. I'm going to choose CS3 and this method in CS3 because it's a method that I think is really fun, I really like, and it's fast. So if you have a different version of Photoshop, or if you have a way that you're already toning in Photoshop, then by all means do it. Okay, and this is for folks that haven't played with it much, and I want to get them going quickly. So the first thing that you do in Photoshop CS3 is you need to go to the black and white dialog box, which is new to CS3 and is really, really nice. I love this dialog box. So you go to Image, the Image pop-up menu, go to Adjustments, and from the Adjustments pop-up, you pick black and white. Now here you'll have basically two parts to the dialog box. The top part is where you can make your black and white conversion. And this is a lot of fun. Basically, you just move sliders around, and depending on what the colors are in your original image, that will affect how the black and white looks. And basically, what I say at this point is make a black and white that looks good to your eyes. After you do that, then the second part of the dialog box is actually the tint box. And there you have both a hue and a saturation slider. So the hue is, of course, you get to pick, you know, the color of your tint. And it starts you out with, I think, kind of a standard antique-y, maybe a little sepia kind of tint. But you can go to any that you want. And you can adjust the intensity of the color. And then you can also, the intensity through the saturation slider after you adjust, what color you want. And this does that to the black and white that you've already made. So you have one dialog box that allows you to both convert to black and white and then tint it all in the same dialog box. And this is why this is a method that I really like, especially for people who haven't done much of this. Now, what I would recommend is that after you do the black and white conversion and you do a little tinting, then go ahead and look at the image in regular Photoshop. You click OK, it applies that. And then maybe you want to go back to your levels adjustment, or if you use curves, use that. Whatever you use, and do your final exposure tweaks to get it exactly the way you want. Now be sure at this point, if you're not already doing this, if you haven't already done it, to use the Save As command so you don't write these changes to your original file. What you want to do is create a second file with these changes so that you have both your original color file and then your new duotone or color monochrome file. So that's the way to do it in Photoshop CS3. It's really easy. And if you haven't played with the black and white conversion dialog box, I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. If you use iPhoto 6, or the latest release, iPhoto 7, you can do a lot of good stuff here also. And that you start out by, I would duplicate your photo first in iPhoto, and that's a Command D, and then that way you're making a second version of it. So you have your color version, you duplicate it, and this is going to be your toned version or your monochrome version or your duotone, whatever you want to call it. Okay, then you open that in the edit dialog box, you know, and depending on how you have iPhoto set, it could be as simple as a double click or control click, however you normally get to the editing part of iPhoto. Now, you have a couple fun things to do here. Normally what I would do is just do some basic image adjustments in the adjust palette to just make sure that the image is, you know, looks exposed correctly and everything to you. Then click on the effects palette. And they're both down there. The effects is right next to the adjust palette. Click on that. And you have some nice tools there. The two that I think work really well for this project is start out with fade color effect. In iPhoto 7, the latest version of iPhoto 7, you can actually have degrees of intensity on the effect. And I like the fade color with around 6, you know, as the setting there. And then use the antique effect. You can, these effects can work in conjunction with one another, or they can be individual. Use the antique effect and just apply around 2 on that and see how it looks. It's a very nice look. It's a very nice duotone. Once you do that, then go back to the adjust palette and play with the temperature slider a little bit. Maybe saturation a tad, although you probably don't need saturation too much because you've done a lot of that fooling around with the fade color and the antique, and maybe do one final tweak on the exposure. And that should give you a really nice looking duotone. It's very easy. You can do it right there in iPhoto by just using the adjust palette and the effects palette right there in the editing part of the program. It's a lot of fun. Aperture users have some nice tools also. There are two in particular. We're in the heads-up display right now, and you have both a monochrome mixer available to you and the color monochrome available to you. Now, they're not in the default heads-up display. You have to go up to the little pop-up menu at the top of the heads-up, and they'll appear in that, and you can select them, and then they'll show up in your heads-up display. And you can use these two adjustments, both the monochrome mixer and the color monochrome adjustments. You can use them individually or together also. I don't like the color monochrome converter as well by itself. What I really like to do is play with the monochrome mixer first and make my black and white conversion with that, and then activate the color monochrome slider and play with the tint and the intensity of that tint or that duotone or, you know, whatever color monochrome that you want to call it. And to me, that works really nicely. Now, when you're playing in color monochrome, you can uncheck the monochrome mixer and see if you like the effect with and without the black and white conversion, because it's really that simple. The monochrome mixer will work without converting to black and white first. It works quite well. I just like the effect a little bit better. It seems a little cleaner to me, a little less muddy when I convert to black and white first using the monochrome mixer, and then I use the color monochrome slider from there. So those two tools in the heads-up display and aperture give you a lot to play with there. And boy, if you haven't done this one yet, you've really got to do it, aperture users. I usually make a new version first before I play with it. So I take my original color image that's in my aperture library. I just do duplicate version. Then I have a new working version. It's right there tied right next door to my original. And then I activate these monochrome and color monochrome sliders and just play until I get it the way that I want. It's a lot of fun, and it's a really easy way to make to apply this effect to our images. Those of you using Lightroom have some nice options also. And what I would do there is I would start out by making a virtual copy of your image in Lightroom. And it's very similar to a version in Aperture. It's basically just creating not a whole new file, but it's a virtual copy, and it's right next door to your color. And then start playing with that. Now, open it up in the Develop module, and the first thing that you'll notice on the left-hand side is that you have some preloaded presets from the Lightroom folks, and there's some nice ones in there for this assignment. They have antique grayscale, they have selenium tone, they have all sorts of pretty fun stuff. And you can just click on those different presets, and you'll see, if you mouse over them, you'll actually see a preview of them in the window over on the left-hand side. Or if you click on them, it will apply them to your image. And if you don't like the way something looks or whatever, remember you have the history palette right below the presets, and you can go back in time to a certain spot. You also have the snapshot palette there, which means if you get your image looking a certain way that you want in the Develop module, you can take a snapshot of it and then label it, and then keep playing, and then maybe take another snapshot after you've played with it some more, so on and so forth. And then you always have the ability to go back to these places where you took these various snapshots, and maybe, especially this is true if you kind of go too far, if you sort of push the edge beyond the edge, and then you want to go back to an earlier stage of your work, and the snapshots are really handy. So just over there on the left-hand side where the presets and the history and the snapshots are, you can really do a lot of fun stuff there and never really have to even get in to the manual adjustments on the right-hand side. However, if you want to, boy, you have a lot of options there, including converting to monochrome, and then playing with the image. And there's a blog post on Inside Lightroom, which is one of the photography sites that's on O'Reilly Media. And the name of the blog post is called Angela Drury, the Lightroom Recipe Queen. And it's the way Angela spells her last name is Drury. And the Lightroom Recipe Queen. And I believe that the blog post is by Mikkel Åland, and he spells his last name Aaland. Anyway, you can find this post either by just looking it up on Google based on the information I gave you, or you could go to the Lightroom site and search for it there. The Lightroom site is at digitalmedia.oreilly.com/Lightroom. And that's digitalmedia.oreilly, oreilly.com/Lightroom, and look for it there. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning this post is because I was on the Lightroom adventure with Angela, and she was great at applying these effects that we're talking about for this assignment. She would do all sorts of sort of hand coloring and tinting and monochrome conversions. And this blog post shows some of her favorite techniques. And if you're a Lightroom user and you want to play with this beyond the presets, then I highly recommend reading this blog post, because it'll give you some good ideas of ways to manipulate your image in the Develop module to come up with something that's really exciting and fun. So you have in Lightroom, you have both the presets, which are fairly powerful themselves, but then you can also do manual tinting and control. And here's where I might look up Angela's recipes and get some ideas for doing it yourself. In terms of the types of subjects that are good for this exercise, well, they vary all over the map. Personally, I think portraits look good with this hand tinting and color monochrome effect. But I've also seen some very nice landscapes, structures, not landscapes so much in the sense of grass and flowers. And I'm not saying that you can't make something interesting there. I just haven't seen as many shots that I find compelling that way. Whereas buildings and structures and cars, things like that, metal, look pretty good converted to monochrome and then tinted. And of course, portraits do too. So I think if you're working on this assignment for turning it in, remember you have to the end of this month of September to get your assignment turned. Leave yourself enough time to play with some different subjects, and then that way you can pick the one that turns out the best. And it's hard to anticipate. There have been some shots I've converted that just exceeded my expectations and turned out beautifully. And then there were other shots, especially portraits, that I thought, you know, boy, this is going to look really neat. And I would do the conversion and play with the tinting, and I could never get it to really look the way that I wanted. It just wasn't quite right. So leave yourself enough time, you know, try to play with 3, 4, 5, 6 different images, perfect them all, and then pick the one that you like best. Or, you know, you can have like a little mini showing with your friends and family and so forth. Find out what they have to say, and then use that to turn into your photo assignment at the end of the month, or before if you finish up. And if you're not going to turn your image in, I encourage you to do this anyway, because it's a nice trick to have up your sleeve to be able to produce this effect. There are times when it comes in very handy when you're doing things such as invitations and so forth. Sometimes these images look great converted. All right, so there you go. That's our duotone / color monochrome tip show. I'll try to publish some more stuff and give you some links in the show notes too. But I encourage you to start playing around now and leave yourself plenty of time. Now, I also want to thank our sponsors, Photomagico by Boink Software, the best slideshow software in the world, and it runs on a Mac. And also the good folks over at ExpoDisc. And boy, I tell you, I just did some shooting at Photoshop World under these nasty mercury vapor lights. And ExpoDisc really saved my bacon. I was having a hard time getting any sort of good custom white balance reading. And I pulled out the ExpoDisc, and far and away, that gave me the best results. And both of them, you can click on their tiles on the digital story, and that'll take you right to their site, so you can find out all sorts of good stuff there. Also want to mention to keep those grab shots coming on in, to make sure that you wander over to the Digital Story public group on Flickr and participate either in the discussions or by helping to critique people's photos who have the critique tag. And if you have any questions or comments, just send them on in to me, questions@thedigitalstory.com. And I'm not always super speedy on answering my email, but I am intrepid, and I will stay on it and try to get back to you as soon as I can. All right, well, that's it for this week. Have some fun. You know, we usually talk a lot about shooting, but this week we're going to play on the computer a little bit. Make some really hot-looking duotones, and if you got one that you think really turned out well, send it in for the photo assignment, and we'll get it in the gallery. All right, that's it for now. Have fun playing, and I will see you here next week. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.